Maury Rose, a two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
It's Schumacher! It's Schumacher!
The Brazilian and the Colombian driver, I couldn't help it, said, and take that. Oh my goodness. Well, Nelson Piquet, understandably, livid with rage.
Meeting about it, stick it on and send him out. Well, this has blown it for Irvine, blown it for Ferrari. I don't know what's happened.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay F1 edition. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt is stuck with me once again for another week. We'll talk some Austrian Grand Prix and whatever else might come up. So a little bit more of an interesting race this past weekend, Matt. What you think of the weekend as a whole in round two at Austria?
It was okay. There seems to be more to talk about after this one, which as content creators is good for us.
Yeah.
I think the cosmic-sized beatdown that Verstappen gave both weekends makes the race a little less interesting. But there's still plenty of storylines to go out throughout the field. I don't know if you have a lot to add to the whole Verstappen beatdown.
Yeah, for saying beatdown, I'm going to have to give you a 5-second penalty.
Okay. We're going to talk about that. But
yeah, that's all I've got.
Oh, all right, well, let's get to it. 3 5-second penalties handed out for drivers racing hard and forcing one another off the track. Lando Norris forced Perez off the track in turn 4, and that put Perez down to like P10. Norris kept going. That was on the restart on lap 4, I think. And then Perez got it twice for forcing Leclerc off turns 4 and 5, or 4 and 6. I get confused by layout. So 10 seconds worth of penalties for Perez, which actually handed P5 to Carlos Sainz. And there seems to be a lot of debate going on in the social media world. So where do you sit on if these penalties are fair, or is that over-stewarding?
So I do want to start out by saying I appreciate the fact that the FIA was consistent in that everything was a penalty. And that's what I've probably said that more times than not is, if you're going to call it consistent one way or another, that's fine with me. Just call it consistent. I don't know where Perez really had room there to make a pass, so I didn't necessarily agree with the Lando penalty. He defended him hard, but he wasn't dirty. The first Perez penalty where he kind of put his front wheel a little bit into Leclerc, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I could see that one. And the second Perez, was he the other penalty when he got another penalty for blocking, or was that somebody else? The third one you're talking about. I can't remember now.
So one was he forced Leclerc off, and then the next he forced Leclerc off.
Yeah, the third one's not coming to mind, but I don't like the penalty. I think in these cases, the first Perez penalty, yeah. It's a bit much. He made contact where he didn't really need to. But Lando, the penalty, I did not agree with.
I agreed with all of them. And I know that's not a popular opinion, because the adage that the go-to line that like Paul DiResta was saying, or Juan Montoya or whoever, is that, you know, they want the drivers to be able to race. So therefore, these kinds of things are going to happen. And I do appreciate the fact that in close racing, there are going to be situations where this does happen. But to me, the definition of close racing is not slamming the door on the car right next to you on corner exit and giving them no choice but to either crash or go to the sand. To me, that's not close racing. To me, that's kind of racing like an asshole. And in my opinion, I would rather see both drivers try to get through the corner respectfully and make it out the other side and see who gets the advantage based on speed, corner exit speed, etc. Not, oh, I'm going to open up the wheel on corner exit and just kind of shove you off. Because Norris not only did that in turn one, lap one on Perez, forced Perez way off the track. That one, Perez just had all the tarmac runoff in the world, so it wasn't really a big deal. Leclerc did it to Norris at Bahrain. Norris didn't like it then. Norris did it to Perez three turns later. This time put him in the gravel trap. Again, that to me is not hard, fair racing. That's just being a little bit disrespectful. So, and Massey also said that if it was just a tarmac runoff, everybody would probably just go about their day. Perez would have just fell back to fourth, call it good. But the fact that he goes into the gravel, he loses seven spots. That has to factor into the penalty a little bit. I mean, Perez's day is now ruined. He's not going to be able to climb back up to a podium position after that. So to me, no, I don't think it's hard, fair racing to just kind of shove guys off the track. I think that needs to be regulated, and I appreciate the fact that the FIA is trying to clean that up, because that's just, I thought it was a bit ridiculous and unkind by Perez twice and Norris once.
I agree with the sentiment that, you know, unfair racing should be penalized. I don't think Norris was unfair. We're going to disagree on that one, and that's okay. There's opinions all over. Was it particularly clean? No, I'm not going to say like it was, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, he did him dirty, but I don't know if it was penalty worthy, because there's just nowhere to, you know, passing on the outside in that corner is next to impossible, and Perez had a good exit, had a good exit speed coming, but that one was tight. But we'll move on from that one. And are there any other penalties we needed to talk about? Because there was like 19. Most
yes.
of them were.
Yes. You have to talk about Tsunoda messing up the pit entry twice.
Damn it, Yuki! I don't know. Why is that one a penalty? I listen. I get it. Like, you have to follow the rules, or otherwise it's a penalty. But literally, he had like a tire over. Like, can we get a little? I guess if I'm asking for consistency, we have to call everything a penalty. So I should probably just shut up. But damn it, Yuki.
Yeah. It's kind of a hard. It's a hard one to defend, because it's just kind of silly if you ask me. But
I want to defend it because it's silly and it's really dumb. But at the same time, it's a rule, and if they're being consistent and penalizing what's in the rule book, I can't get mad at that. So, like, I'm pretty much just at that point being going against what I have already said. I'm losing the train of thought.
What's in that drink?
Gatorade.
Did I say Lexus?
Yes, it is a Lexus Racing Yeti.
All right, Lexus 2 Formula 1 confirmed. All right.
You heard it here first.
What else happened in the race? Hang on. Let me pull up my notes here. Your boy Esteban has not recovered since signing his contract.
No, no. I mean, you can't blame this one on him. You can blame qualifying on him and putting himself in that position, but we've seen the first sector of Austria end people's days two races in a row now. For, you know, the first race Gasly, and this week Ocon, because he just was in the wrong spot and somebody clipped his front suspension. But bro hasn't shown any bit of speed since he signed that 3-year deal, so he's probably you know, right now he's not too stressed. He's probably, you know, drinking a martini and sitting on a beach somewhere and laughing at us for making fun of him.
Oh yeah, is he? All right. Well then, just wanted to get also your quick take on Danny Ric and if it's becoming harder to defend him.
No, he turned it around race day. So I, you know, it is what it is. I don't think he had a good weekend until the race, but that's when the results count. He put together a pretty good race, so I'm going to say no. I don't think it's becoming harder to defend him yet. But it's borderline. It's definitely getting borderline.
I mean, when Lando's up there fighting for podiums.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing P2. That Lando has, what did Team Pit Lane member Danevsky say, this Christian Danevsky say, mopping the floor with Ricardo?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, but I think that Ricardo has more in him still.
I'm supposed to say something like disrespectful, but I might as well just say like a goddamn bludgeoning or something instead. It's becoming bad. It's becoming one of the more lopsided driver matchups in the series. So yeah, I think Mazepin finished last out of the cars that were running.
Shocking.
Vettel and Raikkonen hit each other on the last lap.
Yeah, that was wild. I have not seen a good replay of that because I was in Ohio for IndyCar, obviously, driving back, and then as soon as I woke up yesterday, I drove to the beach to see my family. So I haven't seen a replay, but it had to be bad that because Raikkonen got a 20-second time penalty at the end there.
Shut up. He didn't. Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
That's harsh. Okay, so my synopsis is that the first replay I saw was of Vettel's onboard.
Yeah.
And his hands don't move, and he kind of looks like he's following the white line on the outside. So in my opinion, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, what did Raikkonen just do to the guy? But then I watch – or maybe, sorry, Vettel might have been on the inside. But then I watch the replay from behind that shows kind of where both cars are positioned, and it kind of just looks like a racing incident. I don't think one driver acted maliciously in that. So if Raikkonen really did get a 20-second penalty, I think that's extremely harsh.
20-second time penalty and 2 penalty points.
That's extremely harsh. I also know that McLaren's freaking out because Norris's 5-second deal means he's on the brink of being banned for a race. Are teams allowed to replace a driver if they're banned, or do they just have to sit that car out? I think they just have to sit the...
No, I think you get replaced because I'm pretty sure that's how Pato drove for our buddy Raghunathan in 2019 was during his one race ban.
The only time that I can remember a driver getting banned was Grosjean after Belgium 2012, and Jerome D'Ambrosio raced the next race at Monza. But that was a long time ago. I don't know how much has changed since then. If that's because I don't even think they had penalty points back then. I think they just banned him because they were sick of his first lap nonsense. We have to look into that.
So I believe it's, you know, a period of 12 months. So, you know, looking at Lando, he's got two points that come off in about another week. So he'll lose a few points from the 10 he's got right now.
Well, good thing other drivers in the field are going to give us maybe a ban one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess the last one we could comment on was Russell losing out to Alonso right at the end. He gets deprived of his point.
You have to feel for him, but also the people online saying, why did Alonso have to pass him? Obviously aren't the type of race fans that I ever want to talk to, because I don't care if you're Fernando Alonso or Kimi Raikkonen or somebody who deserves to get an F1 point and a better car than the current Williams car than George Russell, but you have to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, I was in our racing league last night, which Wikipedia has confirmed is 1/1,000,000th as relevant as Formula One. I was having a rough day, and on the last lap, I was P11, and the guy in front of me, Alan Stewart, was P10. Alan has never scored a point in our league, and part of my mind was like, you know, should I just kind of sit here and just kind of let him have it? Because, you know, that'd be make for a fun story. Or should I send it on him on the last lap and take out my frustrations on what was a pretty brutal race for me? And I'm like, well, this is for fun. It. So I just I went for it. I didn't get it, and I did not wreck him, but I did try my, you know, damnest to get around him, because it's like, you know, what's the point of this? Is it to frolic in the meadows, or is it to, you know, race? And, you know, he held me off, which I think actually makes for a better story. If I just kind of parked it, I don't know if that would have been as enjoyable for him, but he held me off. So
yay, Alan.
Yeah, good job, Alan. So it's kind of the same situation here, like, you know, I don't think Alonso owes it to anybody to just kind of park it, you know? He's paid to race. That point could be really pivotal for Alpine at some point against Aston Martin or whoever. So, yeah, he's got to go for it. That's kind of his job.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the predictions here. I had Charles Leclerc doing good, P8. You had Pierre Gasly doing good, P9. So that was
even
decent. I call Leclerc maybe a little underperforming as far as good, quote unquote. Bad. I had Norris P3. Now hear me out. It was semi-bad because he should have been P2.
I'm rolling my eyes for those who can't see it right now.
His theoretical window was P2, and he failed to get that. Therefore, it was not as great as it could have been for him.
I have nothing. Go on.
All right, well, you had Sebastian Vettel, and he had a fairly decent race going up until the last lap. So I'm not
but
sure.
But he was out
say.
Of the points.
He was, but he was also ahead of his teammate.
Who was also out of the points. I'm rolling my eyes again at you. This is the worst. Your defense here is
all right, well, defend this. I had George Russell for my top 10 again.
Yeah, and he didn't make it.
When you had Daniel Ricciardo.
Who did. I don't have to defend it. I was right. I know. I'm sorry. I wanted you to be right again.
Yes. Congrats.
Right.
Your McLaren pick be my Williams pick. I am so proud of you at this exact moment. This is the most proud I've ever been of any prediction you've ever made.
You know, you have to take the wins where you can get them when you're me.
I'd say you sound like a Philly fan.
Yeah.
And as he sips his Lexus cup again, I swear there's rum in that.
I hate
Q1 that. Elimination. You had your boy Ricardo, who you have a lot of faith in, but apparently don't think he can qualify. But he
I
did make it out of Q1. Almost. And then, I'm sorry, I had Ricardo.
Oh, you were almost right.
I know. And I'm still on the Ricardo to IndyCar bandwagon, but we'll see if that happens. And then you had Alonso, which is like your weekly Q1 elimination pick. So I think the folks at home, though, know what question's coming next because we've had a week to think about it. It's been on the minds of literally two people. What is your mock toy that you're going to get me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let's go through our driver of the day. Let me pull it back up.
Come on.
I have it
saved
in my favorites.
I gave you a whole week. You act like you just drove some millions of hours to a race and then back. But you had a well, did Frenchie drive?
No, not at all. I actually
Wait, you
do
drove?
Have yes, I did all the driving.
Oh. So not only was he trapped in a car with you, but he had to watch you drive?
I have no words to that. I'm just going to let you. Okay, I've got your gift ready.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So, since if everybody goes to our YouTube, Matt put a
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
when he lost the bet and had to eat the chunk of blue cheese and ended up liking it. Well, Matt, there is a cookbook available on Amazon called The 300 Blue Cheese Recipes, the best blue cheese cookbook ever for beginners. So somebody like you who is beginner with blue cheese, you can make dipping sauces, cheese balls, salad dressings, macaroni and cheese, and more. They have a Kindle edition or a paperback edition. I'll get you both because I really want to make sure that you have 300 different blue cheese recipes, and it is by Miss Ingredient. Or Mrs. Ingredient. I can't read here. So, nonetheless, that is your mock gift of the weekend.
I'd hate to be Christmas at your household. I said toy.
Well, you get what you get.
You can get me like a styrofoam blue cheese crumble.
I'm going to have to make one of those.
All right, who's your driver of the day?
I'm going with... at the list here again. Let's go slightly off the board here. I'm going to go Daniel Ricciardo. Pretty much had a miserable weekend. Started 14th or 15th and crawled back to P7, was sixth for a little while, I think, before Perez got him. But anyway, good race by Ricciardo to get some solid points and maybe get a little confidence going as we head into Silverstone next weekend.
He's like the guy in the marathon that should be doing really good, but then kind of starts the race mid-pack and everybody expects him to kind of be up there, and then he kind of just finishes in a decent midfield spot. To me, I am losing hope in Ricciardo.
Angry old guy screaming at the clouds.
You, as we have confirmed in this podcast, are much older than I am.
Fact.
I don't want to hear it. I am going to go with... oh, God. There's just not a single one of these, like, stands out. I mean, Signs? Signs had another decent day.
Botox.
I mean, obviously, Max Verstappen had the best drive by far. I could just give it to him. I mean, if you look at it, you know, double points should not be a thing. And they tried that 1 year in 2014, I think.
Yeah.
But I think one of the consequences of doing this two races at one track thing is what we just saw. And if I'm Lewis, I'm a little salty because now Verstappen just got 50 points in two races at the same track.
I feel so bad for him.
I mean, I don't, but I could see where an argument could be made that that's
kind
of nonsensical. Same thing in IndyCar when they did, you know, Toronto, Houston, and Detroit, you know, six times in a season to artificially inflate road course pointage is kind of nonsense. But yeah, I don't like the whole doubleheader at tracks things. I think it's kind of stupid. But Verstappen did a great job with the circumstances. Perfect segue into the fact that Australia has been canceled. I know we had talked in Australia was canceled. I think we talked in February that we were hopeful that since they gave themselves so much time to figure it out, that they would be okay. Well, they didn't figure it out. So that sucks. I think we were kind of reading up on it today. Vaccine rollout's been slow. They're continuing to roll back on the amount of flights that are incoming into the country. I'm assuming quarantining is still a practice of theirs if you arrive to the country. So we don't need to dwell too much on that, but now again there's another spot for a venue. So are we going to see a new venue, or are we just going to see like Coda go to 2 or something like that?
So I would love to see a new venue, but I feel like the most logical thing, given the lack of time to prepare, is a doubleheader, whether that be Coda or Mexico. Mexico, I'd be happy with Mexico as a doubleheader, but I don't know. Yeah, I can't see, given that there's only a few months until Australia was supposed to happen, it just doesn't make sense. Probably too tough to find another track unless they go to, you know, something like Mugello. But again, I'm not looking at the schedule right now in front of me, so I don't know if logistically that would make sense.
Yeah, my hope is secure short or whatever, secure outer ring at Bahrain, but
oh yeah, yeah, good one.
I bet it'll be not anything close to that fun. So anyways, back to Austria. Who was your disappointment of the race?
Disappointment. Again, there's not really too many to choose from, but I'm gonna go with Lance Stroll. Was kind of like Mr. Invisible all weekend and finished 13th a lap down. Made it to Q2 in qualifying, but I think stuck there. So, yeah, just kind of had a boring weekend. I wanted to pick Ocon, but the incident was not necessarily his fault, so I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Antonio Giovinazzi. So, like, on paper, 14th doesn't seem terrible, but, you know, Raikkonen and Vettel were both running ahead of him into that last lap, so he was actually a theoretical 16th. And didn't really have, I mean, he did get spun in the first race. We kind of missed that last week. And this week, he was involved in the Ocon contact, but I don't think that impacted his race at all. It was pretty minor contact. And he just kind of seemed off pace to Kimi all weekend and last weekend too. So not the best for a guy that I rate very highly compared to his teammates. So hopefully he can turn it around here soon. I got one more topic, and then if you have anything after that.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is the engine debate is starting to heat up for the regulation change.
That was my
coming
topic.
2025. Well, so there obviously is the black and white debate of, you know, should it be more electric? Should it be less electric? Should they use more synthetic, high-powered, renewable fuel? Should there be, you know, more ERS, more this and that, etc., more engine changes allowed? Should they be louder, more horsepower, more torque, all that stuff? But I think the faceted debate within that, of course, just happens to be Christian Horner versus Toto Wolff. Because Toto Wolff basically said coming out of the summit that it looks like they're going to be coming more electric as they go forward. And Christian Horner comes out and says, that's a load of rubbish. We need to make them louder and faster and more horsepower, blah, 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 because that's what the fans want. So I don't know about you. I chuckled at the fact that this suddenly became like a Horner versus Wolff thing per usual.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, what's another debate? I bet they probably have thoughts about Uncrustables. I bet somehow Toto Wolff is like a shareholder at Smuckers. So what is your, did you laugh at all about the whole Horner versus Wolff thing that's kind of come from this, and what are your thoughts about the latest developments in the possible engine routes they can take?
Yeah, I think maybe in the summer break we can dive deeper into renewable or e-fuels, I think they're called, and whatnot. It's kind of an interesting topic. I don't know what the right route is. I am okay if it's a more electric-based engine. I think if they get rid of the MGUH component, they can make it more electric somehow and whatnot. I'm all for that. I think that's pretty much the way of the future with governments banning combustion cars, certain governments banning combustion cars. Obviously, it's a big deal. My one request, and I'm sure you would agree, is just to make them sound good again.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I could care less about the technology that goes into it or what component is added or removed because, you know, there are people on the internet who spend hours talking about that kind of stuff, and it just goes in one ear and out the other for me because I don't really care. The two things I care about is, one, that it sounds epic, and two, that they are fast. And so right now, I don't think we could argue that the engines are slow by any means. because cars are as fast as they ever been, but that, you know, there's a lot of aero that goes into that too, and other parts of the car, not just the engine, but the engine has to power the beast. So right now they're definitely fast, so can't argue that, but they sound horrendous. I don't think anybody in like 10 years is going to be reposting engine sound like they do with the V10 engine that they do nowadays. There's not going to be a devoted V6 engine account that has 100,000 followers on Instagram. I can almost bet that. So I don't think anybody's going to be yearning for the years of the V6s, but yeah. I don't care where this goes as long as the manufacturers remain happy and invested in the sport. As long as they're fast, as long as they sound better/amazing, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I do agree with you in general. I find some of the new technology interesting. I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on it or anything, so you know, I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I really have anything else, but for those who are into the gaming world, the F1 21 game comes out in like 10 days from now. If you pre-order the deluxe edition, it's next week, I believe, Wednesday or Thursday.
If you have the deluxe edition, it's Tuesday next week.
Tuesday, okay.
And if, at least on Xbox, if you pre-order, it is 10% off. So I think it was $75, 10% off of that, but then with tax kind of brought you back up to that anyways, but you still save some money. So
I pre-ordered my Xbox copy this morning.
You're going to be in our league. That's so fun.
Yeah, so check it out. I might do some, maybe I'll venture into the YouTube gaming world because I really enjoy the F1 game, and I'm really enjoying my new Xbox, by the way.
Oh, sweet. You'll love to see it. Should have been Team Xbox a while ago.
You know, everything happens for a reason. And I think on that poetic note, guys, have a good weekend. The only racing this weekend, I think, is Formula E, so New York City, if you are interested in watching, I'm going to take a weekend off and do some relaxing. So everybody have a lovely weekend, and we'll be back next week to preview Silverstone and sprint qualifying.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.